Vayter in Shas. We are in Chulin, Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. Picking up on Kuf Chaf Dalim Beis Badabam on a page about a Mishnah. Let's talk about bone marrow. Delicious. Says the Mishnah. Kulas Hameis, the marrow of the bone of a dead person. Rashi says, Kulas Hameis Tameh, to etzem kisaura b'meis mitamib magam masa, kidichsiv o be'etzem adam. That's going to be metame. Beep, turn the page. Kuf chaf heyamad aleph. Vikulis hamuktashi, and in the marrow of a bone from hektish. That what happens, it becomes nosar. The din is a nogeh b'hem. If someone goes in, they touch them. Bein stumim, bein nekuvim, whether they're closed, completely closed, or whether they have a hole in it, tame. Person will be tame. That's even if the marrow is inside, they don't touch it. Kulis nevela v'kulis hasheretz, the marrow bone from a nevela and that of a sheretz, a nogeh b'hem, stumim, if they're entirely closed, taharin. The person will be tahor. The reason a closed marrow bone of a nevela or sheretz does not convey tuma is because the bone itself, we know the din of the bone itself, is that the bones of nevela are not metame. The pasuk says bin nevlisa, right? It's a carcass which means not the atzamos. And the same is also with the sheretz. Only the flesh is metame, but not the bones. Now, what about the marrow that's inside of the bones? Right, the marrow that's inside the bones is the din of the same as the basar is the flesh. It also is not going to be metame because it's sealed in the bone. And since it's not able to be touched, it can't be metame through touching. And since it can't be metame through touching, it can't do it also through masa, also through carrying it as well. Like the Mishnah puts us two together. Now, and it comes out that although the bone is a shomer, it's protecting the marrow, and therefore it should convey tumah of this marrow to somebody who touches it. It actually doesn't, because a shomer of nevela conveys tumah only when it's possible to make contact with the nevela itself. But let's say the nevela is not able to be accessed, the shomer does not convey its tumah. And in the case of a sealed bone, the marrow is not accessible to the touch, and therefore the bone doesn't act as a shomer to be given with the tumah. And that's Rashi. Now, nekuvim kolshu, if they have a tiny puncture in it, then mitamev maga, then yes, it's going to be tame even just through touching. Minayin sha'afim ma'asa, from where do we know? That's also through carrying as well. Let's say sealed marrow bone of nevela is not going to be conveyed tumah through carrying. Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says Hanogea veHanosea, and they put the two together to tell you that as Shabal Chalmaga, that which comes into the category of contact, right, tumah through touching, Bamachal Masa, Loba Lachlal Maga, but if it doesn't come into the category of Maga through touching, because it's sealed, in the case of a nevela, then Loba Lachlal Masa doesn't apply to that as well. And since the closed marrow bone of a nevela doesn't give over tumah through touching, it's not going to be through carrying either. Says the Gemara, Nogea in Aval Mahil Love. We know there's something called Tumas Ohel, but when we start off with the Mishnah saying that if someone goes ahead and they come in contact with the marrow of the bone marrow of a human is going to be Tame, it's just Nogeo, only if you touch it, but not through Ohel. It's not a Tame Tumas Ohel. Hey Chidami, now what exactly is the case? Ide, Kazai's the bus over there, but Holname Tame, of course, even with Ohel, it's going to be Tame. Delek Kazai's bus, if we don't have that, then therefore, we must be talking about the lek gezayis basar, not a gezayis basar. Vida gezayis moach mifnim, and then if there's a gezayis of marrow inside the bone, then tumah bokas v'ola. The tumah punches through the bone that's covering it, and it rises up. But all not the time, it's going to be time of all also. Must be the lek gezayis moach mifnim. We're talking about it's less than a gezayis of marrow. V'moach mifnim maila arucha mibachutz. And if the Mishnah is of the opinion that marrow inside the bone of a living animal can regenerate the flesh outside it, then the bone, even without the gezayis of meat or marrow, is considered a actual aver, and therefore it should be mitame be'ohel as well. Am Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chia, Zosomeris moach b'fnim eino maila arucha mibachutz. It comes out, it must be, the din is, the marrow inside the bone of a living animal cannot regenerate the flesh outside, and therefore the bone is not considered like a limb, and therefore it does not transmit tumas ohel. Right, since the bone marrow does not regenerate the flesh, and the bone doesn't convey doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate what's missing, the bone is not halachically considered an aver, and therefore it's not going to be tami to masol. But my kimta, what case are we talking about over here? What's the mission talking about? The lucky kazayas, where we don't have a kazayas. Yachi, that's true. The mukdash and amai mitami. In the case of a bone of hektish that became nosar, why would it be mitami? It's less than the kazayas. Vesu, and furthermore, kulis nevel of a kulis hasheretz. In the case of the marrow of the bone from a nevel or the marrow of the bone from a sheretz, ki nikvu amai mitami. Even when there's a hole in it, why should it go and be mitami? Rashi says, ha'amar de'ein shomer mitstarfen l'tumma chamura. The bones don't be mitstarfen l'tumma chamura if it's not enough. Halokashis, that's not a kasha. Risha, the lack of kazayas. The Mishnah's first case about the bone of a human body, that's talking about where there wasn't a kazayas. Safe the kazayas, but the safe one is talking about the bone of the karbonos of the sheretz and nevel. It's talking about there is a kazayas of basa or of marrow that's in the bone, and therefore, in all those cases, the bones are able to be tamer. Umay kamash malan. But if the human bone that we're talking about over here is without a kazayas of basa or marrow, then what's the chiddush? What's it coming to tell you? What's it teaching us? It says Rashi, umay kamash malan, kevin dereisha leka kazayas, since there's no kazayas, akati lo asmeinan de etzem kisaura metame b'maga v'lo ba'ol kazayas min avela metame. There's no chiddush over here, says the Gemara. Mili mili kamash malan. The Mishnah is telling us a bunch of things that are not connected over here. Rashi says, kol davar sheshadu v'shaseinu asmeinan taima b'kol chad v'chad. There's good reason for each one. Mashehera zeh, that which applies to this doesn't apply to that. Reisha kamash malan, the first part of the Mishnah about the bone of a human dead body is coming to tell us that the marrow inside the bone of a living creature does not regenerate the flesh that's outside of it. Mukdashin, and about the bone of the mehekdesh that becomes nosar, my kamashon, what's it telling you? That shimush nosar milsi, that serving nosar is a significant thing, and therefore just like nosar itself is tummy, so too is a bone that's served. If it served it, it's going to be nosar as well. Damar mari baravu amar rabbi yitzchak atzmos kachim shimshu nosar mitamin seyadav. The time of the hands. Holven asa basa davarasa, because they were a basis for something which was asur. Nevela, and about that of a nevela, it's going to tell us, afa gav de'ika kazayis, even though there was a kazayis of marrow inside the bone, nikva in. Still, if the bone has a hole in it, then it's going to be mitame. Lo nikva lo, but if not, then it's not going to be mitame. Abaye Yomar. He's giving another reason why the marrow, the bone marrow from a dead body, is not going to be tumas oil. Abaye Yomar li olam moch b'mifnim ma'ilai ruchim ruchatz. Really, the marrow inside the bone of a living animal does regenerate the flesh on the outside. V'hacha ma'yiskin. What are we talking about? B'sheh shafa. We're talking about a case where one scraped away part of the bone, that it's no longer able to regenerate the flesh because the bone itself is messed up. And that's why the bone is not going to be mitame, tumas, ohel, in such a case. Ukedu Rebbe Elazar, Dam Rebbe Elazar, kulis sheshafel arka. If one scraped away part of the marrow bone along the length of it, you leave an unscraped strip along the entire length of the bone, tame, it will be tame. The rachba, if you did it at the circumference, then tahor is going to be tahor. The simanach diklan, the way to remember it is a palm tree. As Rashi points out, that if you were to take, if at any point the length of a palm tree, a person peels away a thin strip of bark around the entire circumference, the tree will wither away and die, because the missing part of the bark stops the sap from going up from the earth, from reaching the higher parts of the tree. But if a strip of bark is peeled off along the length of the tree, it's not going to die, because the remaining bark is going to give it a path for the sap to get to the top. So if a bone is scraped along the length, its flesh can eventually regenerate, right? However, if a strip is scraped away around the circumference, the flesh will never regenerate. Okay, so Relezer, like Abai, he holds that scraping a part of the bone is going to make it not able to regenerate the flesh. Another answer, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a reason why the Mishnah says it's not going to be Tumasol. Le'olam di kazayis. We're talking about the case that there is a kazayis of marrow in the human bone. And it does regenerate the flesh on the outside. So what does it mean over here that this is someone who comes in contact with it, which is mashma, that the human bone does not transmit tuma of ohel? It means ma'il. Right? We read that statement of nogeya is nogeya is only if you touch it, but not tumas oil. And then it says, no, it actually means that is referencing the concept of tumas oil. Rashi says that umay nogeya ma'il, ma'il nami b'mashmer, kidim afarish v'azel, the ikatana de kari la'mayil nogeya. There's a tana that calls ma'il nogeya, as it says. V'imach mi'vifnei ma'il arukam b'mchotz. But if a marrow inside a bone can regenerate the flesh outside, like we said, in kulis nevelu v'kulis hasheretz, in the case of the marrow of the nevelu and of the sheretz, Kilo nikfu amay tahor. Even if you don't puncture it, why are they tahor? They're considered a varim because it can be it can regenerate the flesh, and therefore it should be mitame even if it's entirely sealed. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yamin bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachamay Iskinan. It's a new kimta. What are we dealing with in our Mishnah? Kigon deika kazayis mocham is kashkish, where there's a kazayis of dried up marrow that rattles inside the bones. All the Mishnahs cases are dealing with where the kazayis of marrow inside the bone dried up and it became detached from the sides of the bone. It's like shaking inside it. Dried up marrow is not able to regenerate on the outside. Back in the Gemara, Gabe Meish, in the case of a dead body, Tumah Bokas Vola, the Tumah of marrow penetrates the bone and shoots up, and therefore the bone is going to be Metame Tumah Sol. And the Vela, because in the Vela, Kevin the Mekashkish, since the marrow rattles, since it's dried out, the bone is not considered like a aver, nikfa in, if there's a hole in it, then yes, it's going to be tame, lo nikfa lo, but if not, then it's not going to be me tame. Now, moving it one step back, where do we see this concept that the lushan of nogea can mean oh hell? Amar of Avin, Vitim of Yossi Bar Avin, Afan Anamitanin, we also have a mission olus that brings up this concept, it equates the transmission of tumas amase through touching it on that of a roof. Hanogea b'chatzi zayis, if someone comes in contact with a chatzi zayis of a dead body, umal chatzi zayis, and at the same time, he has a roof over him with another chatzizayis of a dead body. Oh, chatzizayis ma'alav love, or he has a chatzizayis ma'alav, or let's say you have another half chatzizayis at the same time that's doing an ohel over him, right? Then tummy, the person's going to be tummy. Okay. It makes sense, like if you're saying that contact tumah and roof tumah are one category of tumah, makes sense. That's why they're mitzdarif. You're able to combine these two things. If you want to say that there's two separate categories of tumah, then we mitzdarif to they really combine to make tumah. But we learned that differently in a Mishnah that says, right, in that same Mishnah, says that clause is general. Kolshu mishem echad, anything has the same category, mitzarif for tame. It's mitzarif and tame. Mishnei shemos, but if it's two different categories, then it's going to be tahor. Right. So when you're dealing with two different names, two different types, one of roof, it comes out of you, must be there the same, right? Giving over by contact and by roof are one category, and that's the Rav Yochanan explained our Mishnah. Yelamai, see, hold on a second. But then what are you going to say? Chad shmahu, that whether it's touched or it's roof, it's one category. Aim is safer, then what about the safer, that very Mishnah? Aval, beep, turn the page. Kuf chav heim beis. Hanogei b'chatzizai, someone touches a half gezayis of a dead body, v'davar acher ma'al alav, v'alka chatzizayis, and something else at the same time, does a roof over him, and over a different chatzizayis. Right, let's say standing next to a half gezayis of a dead body that's on the floor, and there's a board that's over in the air, right above both of them, which was in contact with another chatzizayis that's not underneath that board, and he's under that one, tahor. He's going to be tahor. V'chad shmahu, but if there's considered one thing, so my tahor, why is he tahor? Touching one chatzizayis, half a zayis, and being under the roof of the other half his eyes is the same thing. Right? The fact that he's not tummy must show that these acts do not consider one shame. It's not one thing. Against the Rav Yochanan said, Elakashe Reisha. So the Gemara says, but then the Mishnah's Reisha is a problem, because it's a mashma that these two types of things do fall into the same category. Right? The first step of the Mishnah said that, the first part, the Reisha said that one who touches a chetzi zayis of a dead body while he's under an oil of a different chetzi zayis is tame, which is mashma the two things combine. So therefore, it is one thing. In the earlier din, we're dealing with one who forms a roof over a tuma ritsutsa. Rashi says, Ritzutza is Lashon of Kol Dover She'in L'makam. It's very cramped together. In L'makam Revach, Kari Ratzos, U'pachos mitefach lav chalalhu, V'nikras ma'ash betocha Ratzos, Migdolam shel Eitz. Right, so it says over here, B'tum Ritzutza is being shnei Migdolam shel Eitz, Migdolam Eskinan, that we're dealing with one who forms a roof over a cramped tumah that's between two wooden cabinets. And there's not even a tefach of space between them. A roof formed over this cramped tumah is considered to be in contact with the tumah. The kula negiri, because the person's entire action touching one chetzi zayis of corpse and forming a roof over the other is considered like one act of negiah. So it comes out that the Mishnah's earlier din is actually one whose two acts of contact combined to you give over the tumah. But it's not the case in which he gets it when you put a roof over it. Therefore, you can't bring this. This din can't be a raya for Rav Yochanan. Okay, so let's try another idea. A different source of Rav Yochanan's, you know, equating the touch and roof tumah. Uman tana dekar ohel nogea. Who's the one who says that a roof over a dead body is considered like nogea? Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi. We learned in a braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, melo tarvad rakav, a ladle full of corpse dust. The dust of a dead corpse. Mitami b'magu masavol. It's going to be tami through maga, touching, through carrying, and by ohel roof. Bishlam masavol. Okay, it makes sense that this is going to transmit through the idea of carrying and roof. Hakatoyin lelakule, because if a person is carrying the entire ladleful, hakamaya lakule, and a person's forming all over the whole thing. Elanogam, in the case where he just touches. Halo nogamakule. He didn't touch the whole thing, because every single speck of dust is not connected to the other. He touched only a part of it. When it's talking about a piece, okay, a piece is all connected. When it's talking about dust, it's not all connected. Therefore, it's not the shear to actually cause a person to become tummy. El alav shmamina must be my nogea. What does it mean when it says nogea? Mile. It means it did oil over it. So we see from Yossi, refers to the act of doing oil over it, like contact, clearly holds a tuma and roof tuma. Contact on roof tuma are the same category, and that's what Yochanan's basing his din. In fact, the Gemara of Hakatani Nogea, but the Braisa, the first din, is talks about, it says Nogea, someone who touches it, Hakatani Mile, and it then teaches the din of somebody who does an ol over it, saying two separate things. The fact that the Braisa itself separates these things must be it's not the same. Rabbi Lamata Mitefach, a roof that's within a tefach of the corpse, ol Nogea, is a roof of contact. That's what the Braisa is talking about when he speaks of the dust transmitting tumah through contact. L'mal metavavah, that ohel greda, is just considered a roof. This is what the Braisa is talking about when it speaks of the dust transmitting tumah by a roof. Rava, my Rava says, afil l'mayla mitefach nami ol negiyahu. Even a roof that's more than a tefach above the body is also a roof of contact. When the Braisa says, speaks about the dust transmitting tumah through contact, it's talking about this type of roof. V'hikid nami ol greida. Be'am shachal, what's considered just a roof, where the tumah is drawn from the corpse to the person by a roof they share. That's what the Braisa means when it speaks about the corpse dust transmitting tumah by a roof. Right? He makes a distinction between the Braisa's two statements. He says that when the Braisa speaks of contact, it's talking about a case in which a person forms an ohel over the corpse dust, or the dust forms an ohel over him. These forms of ohel are considered like contact. When the Braisa speaks of a roof, it's talking about a case in which the roof covers both the dust and the person, and it's drawing the tumah from the corpse to the person, and that form of ohel is not considered like you're touching. So when the person himself is doing it, that's like touching it. He's leaning over it, he's causing the ohel. When an ohel is combining the two again, that's considered ohel. Amar Rava, Rava says, Mina amina la. From where do I say this? That according to Rabbi Yossi, somebody who forms a roof more than a tefach above the dead body is like they came in contact with the dead body. Just not because we learned in a, well, we have a little bit of a switcheroo here. Tzarech lamed d'tanya, says Maseret Shas. A time we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Chavile mita, the ropes of a bed. Right, they used to make a bed. They had these ropes. Rashi says, "Hamusurugin shemasargin mitos kamin klia." Had some sort of like braid. These lace, interlaced ropes of a bed. Usui chalonos and the meshwork of a window. Chotzesin bein habayis le'aliyah. It makes a chatzitza between a lower floor and an upper floor. So that the dead body will not enter the other side. So if there's a dead body in the low floor of the house and a person in the upper place places his hand opposite one of the holes of the meshwork, he's not going to become tame, right? It stops the tumah from going through. Parson al pnei mameis vavir, but let's say the ropes were spread out in the airspace over a corpse than the din is. Someone who touches an area opposite a hole in the meshwork is tameh. But if he touches an area that is not opposite a hole in the meshwork, he will be tahor. What is attached to a permanent structure creates a barrier, but when not, it doesn't. Hey chidami, what is this? Ilema lemata mitafach. If you want to say that, it's where the ropes or the barred windows were spread out within a tefach of the dead body. It's within. It's less than a tefach. So lo kenegad a negev. Then, in the case where he touched an area that's not opposite a hole, amai tar, why would it be tar? Meis b'ksuso. It's like this is like a case of a dead body in its burial shrouds. And such a thing, it is metame, right? It was a metame. It's gonna give tuma to a person, you know, who's above that. So here also, the corpse should give tuma to anyone located above that part of the meshwork, even if he's not opposite one of the holes. It's one tefach, at least a tefach above or more. But still. Yeah, Rav Yossi refers to a person located opposite the hole. You consider it like a person who actually touched it. So we see that according to Rav Yossi, even a roof more than a tefach above the body is considered to be touching the body, and therefore Rav Yossi is equating touch and roof. Amar Abai says, "Nah, le'olam lamata mitefach." Really, we're talking about a case in which the ropes of the bars are spread out within the tefach of the corpse. With the Amar, the Meis B'Ksusahu. In the case of a dead body in its shrouds, one dedicates the shrouds for the use of the dead body, and therefore it's bottled to the actual corpse as part of it, and therefore it's not like a stop between it, and therefore a person that's above it is going to be tamei. But over here with this meshwork, you're not mavatale for the use of the dead body, and therefore it's not considered to be part of the dead body, and it does stop from the tumah before the tumah of the corpse, and the person is opposite one of the ropes or the bars, is not going to become tamei, only where there's like an opening that it can come through. What comes out is that we see that the Braisa might be talking about a case in which the ropes are spread within a tefach of the corpse, and therefore it can't be a rai for Rav Yossi, who equates the touch and the tumah touch and roof tumah. That can't be. It can't be that we're dealing with over here that the ropes are within a tefach, because the tefach ketumah tamuna. Okas v'ola. Let the dead body be like hidden tuma, which penetrates its covering and it rises all the way up. Right? If it's less than the tefach from the corpse, it shall allow the tuma to go through. But the Braisa says that the ropes are a barrier. So there must be, we're talking about that they're more than a tefach above, which is exactly what Rava was fighting for. Kasava, the Gemara says, no. Kasava Rav Yossi, tuma tumuna in a bokas. Rav Yossi argues on that. He holds that hidden tuma does not go up and penetrate its covering and rise up. So the Braisa can be speaking about a case where the ropes are within a tefach of the dead body. Frek the Gemara, where does he know that from? Umina Timri, from where do I know that to say this idea that hidden toma doesn't penetrate the covering? Did not. We learned in the Mishnah in Ohalos. Tifsa Migdol Sheish Poseach Tefach. Let's say I have this wood cabinet that has the space of a tefach. Of a cubicle in the cabinet, the space of a tefach, ve'im bitziyasa poseach tefach, but the opening does not have the space of a tefach. We're dealing with a wooden cabinet divided into all different cubby holes, right, or cubicles. You put over there food or kelim or drinks, and we're dealing with it's a one by one by one. It is one tefach. It measures one by one by one tefachim, therefore. Tumas, a mace, inside there is not considered hidden tuma. Right? The opening of the cubicle does not have the space of a tefach. And its dimensions are less than one square tefach, which is the size ordinarily necessary to allow the tuma to come out of. Tuma besoch, if there's some inside of it, a piece of a dead body, then Abai is tummy. The house is going to be tummy. And if there's a piece of a dead body in that cubicle, everything inside that house in which the cabinet is located will be tummy. Tumma b'bayis, if there's a dead body in the house, masha b'socha tahor, that was is inside the cubicle, is going to be tahor, right? Since the opening of the cubicle measures less than a square tefach, the tumma cannot enter the cubicle through its opening. Therefore, the cubicle is tahor, right? But mipnei she'derech tumma lotzeis, it's a way of tumma to exit, vein derech tumma likanes, but it's not the way of tumma to enter in. So again, if you have this cubicle where there's a tiny opening and you have tumma in there, then what happens is the tumma that's inside of it everything is going to cause everything to become tummy. But if you have tummy in the house, and that which is inside the cubicle, the stuff is too small to come in. Abiyosi is matire, even if there's tummy in the cubicle, the house is still taller. Because one can remove the tummy in halves or burn it in its place inside the cubicle. Since there's no need for the tummy to be brought into the house remains tahor. He basically is saying that it's not certain that the gezayis of tumah is going to be brought through the house, because it's possible to cut it into a smaller piece of a gezayis, which is not going to be metame, or to burn it inside there without ever taking it to the house. And because it's not certain the tumah is going to enter the house, therefore this derabanan gezerah doesn't apply, and therefore the stuff in the house is going to remain tahor. So that's what we said, that since it's the first answer, the first part we were saying is that the stuff inside is going to, that's tumah, is not going to, is still going to cause the house to become tumah, because it's the way to bring it out and to bring it through the house, therefore it's going to be tumah. But it's not the way to put it in, so that stuff remains tar. And we are saying, no, even the house is tar because it's not guaranteed it's going to come through there. So there's not a problem there, Madan. But Katani Seifa, the Mishnah taught in the Seifa, Hamidah Pesach Pischa Lechutz, if one set the cabinet in the doorway with its opening towards the outside of the house, the din is Tumma Besocha, if there's Tumma inside the cubicle, Habayis tar. Habayis is going to be tar because the tumma is not considered like tumma bokas, and it's one by one tafach. It's not cramped over there, and then the walls of the cubicle contain the tumma, and they don't allow it to penetrate and go into the house. And since this, the opening is not going to the house, it's the rabbanon, if the tumma is going to ultimately come through it, doesn't apply because it's going to go through outside of the house. Tumma babayis is the tumma inside the house. Then we go and we say that the masha besocha tahor, what's inside is going to remain tahor. Beep, turn the page, Kuf Chav Vav Amad Aleph, Vatani Alon, a brace of Tani about that, Rabbi Yossi, Mitar, Rabbi Yossi, he says that it's going to be Tahor, he tires everything. Now, hi, the Gemara now is to bring the trial for Rabbi Yossi, about which part of the Mishnah's din is this brace being said. Eli may say, if you want to say, it's talking about the Mishnah's second part, that discusses the cabinet, by the doorway, it can't be, because Tani Kama, Namitar, Mitar, Kamitar. In that case, the Tani Kama also would say that it'll be Tahor. The Braisa, though, is mashed, but the Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing with the Tani Kama. Ela de Ka'amr Tani Kama, Tumah Besocha Abayi is Tameh. Rabbi Yossi understood the Tana Kama to be saying that if there is tumma inside the cubicle, the house is tummy for one of two reasons. Even Shem did Darath tumma, let's say, it's a way of tumma to come out of there, and therefore, in going to the house, it's going to be tummy. Even Shem did tumma tumuna bakas, or he holds that hidden tumma breaks through and it just rips through what's the covering over there. And it goes up. If you come on there, Rabbi Yossi says, that what you said, Derech Tumma, let's say, is the way of going out. Not necessarily, because Yachol Lotzi Lechatzon, you can take it in halves. Although some people come, you can burn it in its place. So if you come on that which says, Tumma Tumuna Bokas, they can say that the hidden Tumma that's cramped up and there is like shoots out and goes up. No, because Tumma Tumuna in Bokas, I hold that it doesn't go up, and therefore the house is going to be taller. So you see, every Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that the hidden Tumma does not penetrate its covering like the Gemara had said before. Okay, my friends, we are going to stop over here. I want to wish all y'all a great, great day.